Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you may have heard this week the story of a proposed boycott of holiday homes as a means of freeing up properties for purchase and for those looking to rent. The suggestion came from Tom Gilligan, Director of Services for Housing at Mayo County Council. Mr. Gilligan stuck to his guns for a couple of days, but subsequently apologised after his comments came in for criticism from many, including Taoiseach Micheál Martin. But the remarks have renewed the focus on how and whether a balance is being struck between holiday lets and the actual house to live in requirements in a time of a housing crisis. It's an issue that's particularly affecting Gaeltacht regions, and we can tell you that a meeting has now been scheduled between representatives for the Irish-speaking population with Minister for Housing James Brown and Minister for the Gaeltacht Dara Cailleary. And one of those who'll attend that meeting is Róisín Ní Chineadh, who is an advocacy manager with Conor na Gaeilge, and she's been telling me about the impact of short-term lets.
I suppose often when we're talking about this topic, you know, the issue of cities come up, but short-term lets are very often concentrated in the Gaeltacht areas as well, which I suppose the most detrimental impact it's having is it kind of skews the pattern of home occupation, which then affects the vibrancy or the sustainability of the language in these areas, when we're seeing particularly younger people are the generation who might be looking to rent and being forced to leave the area, when the proportion of, say, properties available as short-term lets in comparison to properties that might be available to rent long-term is astronomical. There's been research done over the last number of years, and we've done some ourselves as well at various points, on the question of short-term lets and then also on the issue of holiday homes. So that Udar Ross and Gwelt, their research was done on the 2022 census, which showed that there are five times more holiday homes, for example, in Gaeltacht areas as a share of the overall housing stock than there are in the country as a whole. So on the kind of national level, and in some areas, say Éilean Hóirí off the coast of Donegal or down in South Kerry, over 40% of the houses in those Gaeltacht areas are holiday homes. And if you look at, there's been kind of point in time research carried out by various groups, TG Cahir, for example, last year found that there were 55 times more short-term lets on Airbnb in Connemara than there were long-term rentals available at the time. Schools are being forced to close because they don't have the numbers. You know, their underage teams can't field a team for lack of numbers. So it's affecting kind of all aspects of life in these rural areas, like it is across all of Ireland, but also affecting the language too.
So you've diagnosed the problem, you know what the data is. What solutions will you be proposing? Because as I understand it, you're due to meet government representatives on this, government ministers on this. So what will you be presenting to them?
Yes, we have meetings with the ARA Gaeltacht and with the Minister for Housing over the coming weeks. One of the big issues that we'll be looking to discuss with them is this new short-term letting register and the legislation that's being brought in, and the proposed 10,000 population cap, which quite clearly isn't going to be of any benefit to any of the Gaeltacht areas.
Right, this is a cap, you know, on the number of days. Just to explain it to listeners, it's a cap on the number of days a property can be put on a short-term letting site in an area of 10,000 or more. Many of the communities in the Gaeltacht would be far below that 10,000 level.
Yes, absolutely. So this ban, you know, would have no effect. And while this legislation, you know, is by no means maybe a silver bullet in addressing all of the issues, it would certainly go a long way, we would hope, to bringing some of those properties that are being used as short-term lets back onto the long-term rental property. But that benefit won't be seen now in the Gaeltacht areas because of this 10,000 population cap. Another issue we'd like to discuss, something we often do when we're talking about language issues, is look to, you know, international examples, and our neighbours in Wales tend to do things maybe a lot more proactively and a lot better than our own government here. In the last couple of years, they established a Welsh Language Housing Commission, who published a Welsh Language Communities Housing Plan back in 2022. Kind of recognising, I suppose, the detrimental impact of these housing issues on language communities. And one of the things that they have introduced in the last couple of years is council tax premiums on second homes and long-term empty properties. So one example, in Gwynedd Council, 2023, they hiked their council tax to 150%. And by the end of last year, the house prices had fallen in that local authority area by 12.4%. So there are there are examples out there of these, I suppose, proactive measures, kind of thoughtful policy making being done in the context of language and housing. So that's something that we'll be trying to discuss with both ministers in the next couple of weeks.
All right. And, but at the same time, the Gaeltacht is heavily dependent on tourism and people taking out short lets and staying there where, you know, people, there may not be a hotel in a locality. So holiday homes and short lets are the only venues for tourists to stay in.
Yes, absolutely. But I suppose the point to be made here is, you know, the tourism existed long before the short-term letting industry as well, and that there, you know, there are other options there. What we are advocating for in this case is balance, you know, that there'd be a restriction on the number of short-term lets and holiday homes in Gaeltacht areas proportionate to the maybe the population of the area and the housing demand of that area. And to look as well, I suppose, at who's really benefiting from the short-term letting industry and maybe the negative impacts that it has as well, you know. There are, of course, benefits to the tourism industry. And like you said, Gaeltacht communities do depend on it. But there's also a huge benefit to the area of people being able to live and work and contribute to the community all year round.
And that was Róisín Ní Chnéidh of Conor na Gaeilge speaking to me earlier. Now, the Gaeltacht, as she said, is at the sharp end of this in terms of the proportion of holiday lettings. But Timmy Dooley, what's your own view on short-term lets? You're from a county, obviously, with a high level of tourism. If you look at the figures at the moment, 20 properties to rent in the whole of County Clare, according to daft.ie today, 291 homes across the county available next week on Airbnb. So, is it an issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. There's a significant issue with housing across the state, that's for sure. It's often, I think, unwise to jump to the conclusion just because there's an amount of housing on a short-term letting website that if short-term letting didn't exist, that these would automatically go back to being permanent residences. Many of them are holiday homes that are used for a number of months by individuals who live outside the area, who would not put them up on for long-term letting, quite frankly, with discussion that I've had with them. Some of them are properties that are granny flats onto homes. They're of different, there's, like I know in Clare, there's yurts, there's teepees, there's all sorts of units on the letting register. But there is an issue.
Right.
And that has been identified, and there's legislation coming in. And it is going to address mainly the towns above 10,000, but it's also within the legislation, the capacity with further regulation to identify issues that are specific to particular areas. And I do take on board the point in relation to the Gaeltacht and the impact that that's having, and people have reflected that.
Is the 10,000 population cap adequate? Because there's disagreement over that figure of 10,000 for a number of reasons, not least the other, your colleague, Junior Minister Michael Healy-Ray, who feels that that would capture a town like Killarney, and he'd like to see that raised.
Yeah, and I can accept there are certain areas, and I think that's why you set a certain target, and then there's the capacity to alter that for specific areas or specific ideas, and that can be done at a later stage through regulation. So let's get the primary legislation in place, which allows then government through regulation to address issues as they arise. But I don't want to give the impression that the legislation on its own will solve the problem in relation to housing. It's just part of that. And we do have to balance too the social and economic benefit of tourism in a region, how important that is for the lives and livelihoods of people that are there. Many of these areas don't have hotels, don't have other opportunities. And many of these homes, as I said, are owned by people, not all, but principally in the more rural areas, and the ones that I'm familiar with are, in some cases, there's an old farmhouse on a yard, which would not really be suitable for long-term family living, but is suitable for a couple of months of the year.
Okay.
But yet it adds to the overall stock of holiday lets.
Darren O'Rourke, it's not a simple equation of, you know, every Airbnb is a potential long-term rental property. The ESRI has said that it's only when the Bord Fáilte register or the Fáilte Ireland register is in place that more data will be gathered on that sector. But they say short-term lets per se are not causing houses not to be put up in the long-term rental market. So is it an issue?
Oh, it's a very significant issue, and it's been an issue for a long time. We're in the middle of a housing crisis, and what we have is a huge amount of vacancy in different shapes and forms, and we need to address that, and we need policy levers to move that on, and we're not doing anywhere near enough of it, and it manifests in different places and in different ways, and we do need a tailored response in relation to it, but we do need a response. And at the outset, we don't have adequate data. You know, there's the geodirectory, there's a CSO, there's, you know, there's lots of different sources of information.
So what would we be basing policy on if there is inadequate data and an ESRI report says that the relationship between short-term lets and long-term lets is more complicated than that? You know, is it possible to pull any policy lever now in the absence of that information?
Well, it is. In the first instance, we know that there are high, you know, particularly in urban areas, major demand for long-term rents, and there are long-term rental properties, and there are lots of short-term vacancies there. So we should, for example, and the government are taking a different approach in relation to it, this arbitrary 10,000 figure, we think in Sinn Féin that we should look at rent pressure zones and have a particular approach in relation to short-term lets and the rent pressure zones. We need that register up and running. In effect, actually, as things stand, very many of those short-term lets are not planning compliant. So the first thing we could do is ensure that there is adequate enforcement of existing regulations. So, for example, many of those short-term lets are actually supposed to be long-term lets, and they haven't got the planning exemption in relation.
Jen Cummins, of course, it isn't just far from being just a rural issue. It's probably an issue that's very much alive in your constituency as well. But, I mean, do you see short-term lets in your constituency as in a zero-sum game with long-term lets?
I mean, I don't know about anybody else's inbox, but my inbox every single day is absolutely full of people who are in dire straits with regards to housing. And in Dublin South Central, you know, very urban city centre, Dublin, you know, the amount of the focus on building has been hotels, has been student accommodation, and a kind of transient populations are being supported by that. But what we're seeing is that there's also, you know, short-term lets up. It's a city. People want to come and visit a city, and it can be a cost-effective way for tourists coming in, perhaps. But we would really like to see that short-term lets are covered by a regulation, just to see. And then maybe we're able to take control of what exactly the issue is. But, I mean, like, if we are only focusing on short-term lets, you know, tourist accommodation in a city like Dublin, we are community. And I hear this, like, so often when I'm out in my lovely community, you know, in Dublin South Central, and people are saying we can't get homes for the people who grew up here. They are going to move somewhere else. It doesn't create a sense of community whatsoever. And even though we're fighting very hard for that in a city centre, you know, and people may not be aware that when you live in a city, there is a great sense of community. But I just going back to the Gaeltacht area.
Do people have to wait for the register? For example, you know, that register won't be in place until next year, the Fáilte Ireland Register of short-term lets. Is it worth waiting until that's compiled before action can be taken on this? Or is there a specific short-term measure you'd like to take now?
Well, I mean, if you look at the amount of vacancy as well around cities, you know, vacant and derelict properties, that's another thing that comes up. And I know that's not exactly what we're talking about, but, you know, taxing that to a level where it makes people bring it back in. There's plenty of buildings, but we need to have buildings that are livable in. What I would say about that Gaeltacht area, though, if I may, is that the loss of people living in that area means that language is going to be lost, but it also means public services are going to be lost because people are not going to live there. So there'll be no one teaching in schools, there'd be no one, you know, working in healthcare. And that's replicated in rural areas, but that's also replicated in other places like Dublin, where people can't afford to live. So the rent pressure zones are so vital, particularly in urban areas, but that also needs to cover areas with lower than 10,000 people in it, in my opinion.
Okay, Timmy Dooley, what's the timeline on the bill on this, and how will the differing views in government on it be accommodated?
Well, the legislation will be progressed quickly because the register, the Bord Fáilte register, has to be in place by May of next year. So it will be in the intervening period. But just to clarify one thing, a current planning policy requires all second properties in rent pressure zones to have planning permission. And that's even the case if it's your principal private residence, if you're renting for more than 90 days. So there's already regulations in place. The enforcement is the issue. By having the register in place, it's a way to resolve that, and it's recognised across the European level. So it's very clear that the government does recognise the impact that short-term lets is having on our housing sector. We just have to be careful that it's not just a one-size-fits-all approach to addressing it, that there has to be a different different mechanism in the more rural and isolated areas.
Are you okay with the 10,000 marker?
I am. I think it sets a balance, but I'm also conscious that you shouldn't have to go back to primary legislation if an event arises where we see there's necessity to change it. And that's why the legislation will provide for further regulation.
Should there be more local discretion on this? Should more powers be devolved to local councils and even down to the likes of Uther Ross and Aquatic?
Well, that's a good point on the planning side. So you'd have to reflect on local authorities who happen to have Gaeltacht and scenic areas, have county development plans which they put together, who could increase the housing stock in the area if they choose to.
Our specific approach in Sinn Féin is that we don't think the 10,000 arbitrary figure makes sense. We think the base should be rent pressure zones and outside of rent pressure zones, we think there should be that discretion with local authorities to assess, well, what's the right mix here in terms of long-term lets and short-term lets. Okay. And they can do that, including Gaeltacht areas.
And the Social Democrats' approach on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is that whatever needs to be done and fast. Okay. It's just actually unbelievable that we're still trying to figure out our way out of the housing crisis when we're right in the middle of it. We should be, you know, have a proper plans in place. And it's just flabbergasting that we're not at that place yet.